Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, the theme for this month is spiritual understanding. And I want to share that in a particular light. After these services would have, your desire for understanding would increase.
Amen.
And your understanding would increase.
Amen.
So are you ready?
Yes, Pastor.
Very simple messages, but you never forget them. So let's start. Go to John 20, verse 21. John 20. Now, when you hear John 20, it means Jesus has died and he has resurrected. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
the Lord. Anytime I hear Matthew 26, I know they're about to arrest Jesus. Or Luke 22. Or Mark 14. Or John 18. But when you hear Matthew 28, you know he has resurrected. Luke 24, Mark 16. All the last books in the gospel, you know he has gotten up. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So John 20, let me beg you, follow me, okay?
Yes, Pastor.
It's useful for all of us to see. So just enjoy the service and let's look at the word. 20:21. It says, then said Jesus to them again. So Jesus is talking. He has resurrected. Do you understand?
Yes,
he appeared to his disciples while they were eating. They were hiding from, you know, the Pharisees. So now he appears to them, and this is what he says. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father had sent me, even so send I you. The first thing he did was send them on an errand. Verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. Oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He breathed on them. Actually, it should mean he blew on them. So he went, you know, there are times you see people go on others and say, what's the meaning of that? Well, Jesus started it. He breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So he thought his mouth was an outlet. Do you understand? All right. Go to 23. Let's just finish it. 23. Let me start from 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father had sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. 23. Look on the screen. Thank you. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Someone with a migraine, it just left you like this. As you're looking, it just went. All right. But go back to 22. 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, why did he do this? What was the purpose? Pay attention to me. Because when you look at Acts 1 verse 4, go there. Acts 1 verse 4. Let's rush, because I have a lot of verses that I want to share with you. Acts 1 verse 4. This is after he has resurrected. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Look at this. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Here he's telling them that don't leave Jerusalem until the Holy Ghost comes on you. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Don't leave. Stay. The Holy Ghost is coming. So wait here. But before this, they are gathered together and he blows on them and says, receive the Holy Ghost. So what was he doing there? If that first ministration was not enough, this was what he wanted them to wait for. So what was that about? Go to Luke 24. Luke 24 verse 45. What did he do there? What did he do? Someone said it was a taster. No. 24, 45. He says, then open he their understanding, that they might understand the what?
Scriptures.
That's what he did. When he blew on them, he opened their understanding. Meaning that they had the scriptures, but they did not understand it. They had their own idea. Now someone said, how do you know that blowing on them was what he did? Go to Job 32. Job 32 verse 8. Job 32 verse 8. Check your Bibles. Are you there?
Yes, Pastor.
If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
If you're not there, say, wait for me. If you don't have a Bible, say, hey. Okay. Come with your Bible. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
I like us looking at it together, so I will not be too fast. You understand?
Yes, Pastor.
So we are doing it together. But you should come to church with your Bible. And for some of you, it's in your phone. So it's really easy. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Job 32, verse 8. It says, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. When you use another version, ISV, let me look at it. It says, however, a spirit exists in mankind, and the Almighty's breath gives him insight. He says, the breath of the Almighty gives understanding. And Bible tells us in John 20 that Jesus breathed on them. And in Luke 24, he opened their
understanding.
And in Job 32, you see what merges them together. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
All right. So he opened their understanding that they should understand the scriptures. Why was that important? What did he want them to understand in the scriptures? Because the scriptures are a lot. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
There are a lot from Genesis, Exodus, Numbers. So what was the specific thing he wanted them to understand? Go to Luke 24. Luke 24. Verse 45 again. Or let's start from 44. If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
If you're not there, say, wait for me. Okay, I'm waiting for someone. So, Michelle, I'm waiting for you. 44. I'll read it. Pay attention if you don't have a Bible. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. So what did he want them to understand? The things that were written concerning him. Verse 46. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And so he's telling them that his death was prophesied about. Are you in this place? It was in the scriptures, black and white. But they didn't understand it. His death, his burial, his resurrection were prophesied about. But they didn't understand it. And so now he has ascended, and the first thing he does is to open their understanding so they would get it. So when the Bible talked about the Christ, he was supposed to live forever, yes, but after he had died and what? Resurrected. But they thought they had seen the Christ and he would be with them forever and that would be the end. They didn't understand it. And so throughout, while he walked on the earth, he told his disciples often that he'll be killed, he'll be buried. In 3 days, he would rise. And they didn't get it. Go to Matthew. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 21. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're not there, say, wait for me. 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. So this is the first time he was mentioning to them. Verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to what? Rebuke him. He didn't understand it. He thought Jesus was prophesying death. So he rebuked him, saying, be far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. So Jesus starts telling them that he should die, and Peter said, no way, don't say that again. You see, he didn't understand it, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The next chapter, Matthew 17, let's go there quickly, verse 22. So Jesus rebuked Peter back and called him Satan. And after that, Peter became humble. So the next chapter, 17 verse 22, are you there? And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. They didn't get it. But you know, the first time, Peter said, God forbid, and Jesus rebuked him. So now they thought, let's just look sad. So Jesus said, they will kill me. I will die. I'll rise again. Hey, yeah. But they didn't understand it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 20. Matthew 20, verse 17. I just want to show you different times Jesus said it. Matthew 20, verse 17. So you see, he has said it twice now. They still didn't get it. 20, verse 17. And Jesus going up, okay, it's back on. And Jesus going up to Jerusalem took the 12 disciples apart in the way. You see, he was going somewhere. Then this is so important. He called them aside, Put them apart in the way and said unto them, verse 18. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, verse 19, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. This time, they didn't say anything. They were tired. Do you understand? The first time they said, God forbid, sir. Jesus said, Satan, get out. Second time they said, this is very sad. The third time, they kept quiet. The fourth time, Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Oh, let me show you one. Go to Mark 9, verse 9. Oh, dear Lord. Let's be really, really fast. Mark 9, verse 9. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. Verse 10. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another. What the rising from the dead should be. So, you know, they began to suspect that this rising from the dead will not be real dead. Do you understand? Because how can he die? How can this man die? This is the man that walked on water. This is the man that raised people from the dead. How can he die? That death has another meaning. So when he said it this time, they started asking questions. It might mean something else. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. We can pause Matthew 26. But all of this to say they did not understand. They didn't understand. So in Matthew 26, when Jesus tells them again that he will die, but when he resurrects, he will go before them to Galilee, Peter said, Master, I'm willing to die with you. He didn't get it. Do you understand? Maybe he thought Jesus wanted them to vocalize their commitments to him. Do you get? For example, you have a guy who really likes a girl, and then to express that he really likes her, he says, I will die for you. And he's expecting maybe somewhere for her to say, me too. But the girl says, wow, thank you. Because she doesn't plan to die. All right. So maybe that was what they thought. But you see, here's the thing. Because they did not understand that he was supposed to die, do you know that one man's action nearly cost the existence of Christianity because of the lack of understanding? Because they didn't get it. Somebody did something because he didn't get it that he thought would help a situation, and it nearly made things worse. Go to John 17. John 17. So if it's you, I'm giving you allowance to deal with it. John 17, verse 12. Now, Jesus is praying. Jesus is praying. He's talking to God now. He hasn't died, but he's giving his report. 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Talking about his disciples. Those that thou givest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Who is the son of perdition? Judas Iscariot. But he's saying every other person is kept, and he needed them to be kept, because after he was gone, they would be the one to continue with the gospel. Do you understand? Remember, the Jews hated him. The Pharisees, the leaders of the Jews, they hated him. They wanted to destroy him, erase his name from the earth. And guess what? That means they'll want to destroy his disciples too. Because most times when you kill the leader, the followers don't stop. This was serious. And so he wanted to ensure that even though he knew they would arrest him, but even though they arrest him, it doesn't come to their mind to do anything to his disciples. Because they could arrest him, kill him, and name everybody a fugitive. Do you understand? A criminal. That could have happened. And nothing would have stopped them. The same energy they used to arrest the master and kill him, they would have used that same energy to destroy all disciples at once, and that would have been the end. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So Jesus was very particular about that. So now you go to John 18, go there, and they've come to arrest him. He knew he was supposed to be arrested. He knew he was supposed to die. But he didn't want anything to happen to his disciples. John 18. Verse 7. So now they've come to arrest him. And are you in this place?
Yes,
pay attention to me. They've come to arrest him. And he goes out to meet them and said, "Who are you looking for?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I am he." They fall down. He could have escaped, but he understood the scriptures. He knew it was not time to escape. It was time to be arrested. Are you in this place?
Yes,
so he waited for them to get up. And then they got up. Then he asked again, verse 7. Then asked he them again, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Verse 8. Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these..." Who are these? His disciples. You see, he was very particular about that. He said, "You're looking for me, right? Jesus." "Yeah, it's me." "If you're seeking me, let this go." Do you understand? So they are not criminals. They are not wanted by law. Listen, if they had come to arrest Jesus and they escaped, they would have said they are wanted. They are waiting for them. Do you understand? So now he's negotiating. They are being let go without any problems. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Are you sure?
Yes.
So he says, "Hey, if it's me you're looking for, let these ones go." And sure, it was only him you're looking for. Problem solved. Until something unexpected happened. Verse 9. "That the same way we feel which is spake of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none." Verse 10. Then Simon Peter, out of nowhere, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his ear. Peter has started fighting. Jesus just negotiated everybody should go. He wasn't, Peter just out of nowhere, boom, without permission. Do you know what could have happened? Peter was trying to help Jesus. He nearly ruined everything. Because if he had cut that guy's ear, they would have said he injured, because remember, Jesus' arrest was legal. It was wrong, but it was legal. If police came to arrest you, or someone that you know, even though you didn't do anything, and you went and hit the police head and he fainted, you're gone.
Yeah.
Are you in this place? Yes. In fact, everybody in that house will be taken. Peter wasn't thinking. He goes and cuts someone's ear. What does that mean? It means that if that situation remained like that, they would have arrested Peter. Are you seeing that? And the other people would have been named threats because they are violent.
Yeah.
Are you seeing that?
Yes, Pastor.
But let's say it became more serious. Peter cut someone's ear. They would have killed him if they started fighting. So the two outcomes were bad. Either he cut someone's ear and runs away, now they are wanted by the law. Or he cuts one ear and they start fighting and they'll kill Peter because nobody starts war by cutting someone's ear. That means two outcomes. The disciples would have been criminals and nobody would listen to a criminal. Or they would have died. And that would have been the end. Peter was trying to help, but he lacked spiritual understanding. And he nearly ruined everything. Well, thank God for Jesus. Go to Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 50. No, imagine the man that they cut his ear went to report to the chief priests. You know, throughout they've been looking for a way to get Jesus. They couldn't find one. He was not a violent man. He was not a criminal. Are you in this place?
Yes.
But finally, someone has cut someone's ear. And they went to tell Caiaphas. What do you think? He'll say, yes, we knew these people were a threat to society. They are going around cutting people's ears. Arrest all of them. That would have been the outcome. Look at 50. He says, are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Verse 51. And Jesus answered and said, so far yet, thus far. In other words, it's enough. And he touched his ear and did what?
Amen.
As though nothing happened. Why? Because he didn't want them to become fugitives. If the guy went to report that he cut his ear off, say, Kaya, please, those people are criminals. What happened? They cut off my ear. Which one? This one, if fair. This one. Yaba left. You see, no evidence. So they left. They arrested Jesus. They killed him. There was no promise for resurrection if they killed Peter. So if they had killed them, but he resurrected, and the disciples were not fugitives, and they could continue with the gospel. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You see why spiritual understanding is so important? At times, because Peter thought he was doing the best thing. At times, it's so physical understanding. That thing you think is the best thing, this is what you should do, is the very thing you should not do. They would have found themselves in those situations or in that situation. The very boss you should not enter is the one you entered while you insulted other bosses. You are the bus stop. A bus came to space. You say, this boss, me, I can't sit down here. I can't sit down here. Please go. Then they get filled up. Goes. Another one comes, you sit down. Why is this chair so hard? Why is it so hard? I beg. Calm down. The very boss that should not be entered is the one that will say, I like this boss. He's neat. It's like ACSF. And what do you find there? People that plan to use human beings for rituals. A lack of spiritual understanding. The very thing that should not be done at times is what it's done, and it spoils every other thing. At the beginning, it might look nice, but the ripple effects will be disastrous. At times, the person you should not meet, you should not have anything to do with, is the person you go and meet because you had lots of referrals. He's a good person. He's a nice person. He's very dedicated. Until you go and meet that person, and you know, at times, meeting people has the ability to change your destiny, to affect your destiny. Do you know that?
Yes,
Pastor. Yes. I told you blind Bartimaeus would have died as that blind man until he met Jesus and his story changed. He wasn't going to die as that blind man. He was going to die as that man that received his healing, received his sight. He met Jesus and his destiny and his story changed. But a lack of spiritual understanding. So I'm just thinking, at times, you're here right now. You have projects. There are things you have calculated. You have analyzed. This is the best move. This is the best person to meet. This is the best thing to do. And that is the worst thing. That is the very thing you should not do. Are you in this place?
Yes,
and while you're about to do it, maybe the Spirit of God, there is a delay. And you say, Pastor, I'm walking my faith. I want this delay to be removed. Not knowing that God is saving you. Because that is the very thing you should not do. But you said, no, these are hindrances. Hindrances from the devil. Spiritual understanding will ensure that never happens in your life. Once there's a delay, instead of pushing, you, hey, maybe this is just not for me. Spiritual understanding. It is so important. Are you in this place? It is so vital. Because there's the understanding of the world. And you're used to that. There is that calculation from the world. And you're used to that. But you see, no matter how wise a man is, he can't see the back of his head. But God can. So no matter how careful he was about that procedure, he might have missed something. But God sees everything. Yeah. And so what you need in your life is what? Spiritual understanding. So you don't do the thing you should not do. So you don't meet the person you should not meet. So you don't say the word you should not say. You go for an interview. And you tell the person, your kids must be very happy. You're just trying to be nice. Not knowing there are no kids yet. The very thing you should not say is what you said. Now you don't know why they didn't call you back. You say it's from the village. A lack of spiritual understanding. I want us to pray. Go to Colossians 1 verse 9. Quickly, we have something else. There are two parts in this service. Colossians 1 verse 9. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You've been listening to me quietly, but I don't want you to pray quietly. This is important, because this is vital. Some of you would make decisions this month that has the potential to influence the rest of the year, and you require spiritual understanding. So he says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Isn't that the most important?
Yes.
The knowledge of God's will. That you would know it. You know God's will now. In all wisdom and what? Spiritual understanding. You know this is the will of God and you understand his methods. Even though this is the will of God, there might be a delay and you understand that it should be so. Are you in this place? I want us to pray. Stand up on your feet. Have I been talking to you?
Yes, Pastor.
Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
Do you understand why we are praying?
Yes, Pastor.
You will pray for your life. And you will not care about the person standing next to you. Just for a few minutes, all right? A few minutes. But intense prayer, you're going to pray. You're going to pray that throughout this year, even now, even now, the knowledge of God's will. Liga prakaso tarabaya rebosha. Rakaso torobosha tarabaya. Leko sukha brakasa kado sharamande ligedes. That you are filled with the knowledge of his will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Even though it looks nice physically, that is not what you're looking out for. You want spiritual understanding concerning that job, concerning that project, concerning that person, concerning what to do, concerning that vehicle, concerning everything. Spiritual understanding. Leko braka satarabaya, rebako sotorobosha, rabaka sekerebo, ribaka satarababa. Reboko sukabaye, remaka satale, rebaka sotorobo shatarabaya, rebaka sokoboko likale, ribaka baba, rebaka sotobarade sharamande, liga braka sotorobo sendere bobo, leke sekere baba, rabaka soto, marosete, libraco saramande ligedosha, leko baka sekere bosha, maybe you want to buy something and you're not sure which one to get, but you have spiritual understanding. You know the one that everyone is saying don't get. That is the one the Spirit of God wants you to get. Libra kasatarabo sharamande. Ensure you're praying at the back. Ensure you are praying. Liga braka satarabaye. Remaka sotorobobo. Leka braka sate. Riba baba. Ramano sotorobo shatarabaya. Leko suka braka sekede. Rebaka sakarababa. Leko sotorobobo. Spiritual understanding concerning what route to take. Which route to take. Maybe you want to take this place, but God will direct you the other way. Libra kaso torobo shadarabaya. Leko suka bakade. Leba kaserebosha. Maybe you have electives. You want to choose this course. But that is a course that has the potential to make you repeat a year. But then the Spirit of God will guide you. Libra kasa terebo sharamane. Rema kasakale. Libra dosha. Leko suka brakaserede. Leko brakasara babababa. Leke serebosha. Leka baka leke dosoto. Leko skaramane ligadesh. Libra kasara balekadede. Amen. Amen. I want to hold somebody. Hold somebody. Amen. Amen. Say, in the name of Jesus, I am anointed. And my mind is open to understand God's purpose for my life and to walk in that purpose. In the mighty name of Jesus. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. 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 There's anointing at work in you. Libra kasa tarabale gedosha. Rema kasa kalabababababa. Raba kase kerebosha. Liga brakasa kade. Lebra kosa ramande ligadosha. Leko brakase kerebrodosha. Leka baradana leke dese tererede. Riba babababababababababa. Leko satarabababababa. Part time, you understand what to do. Part time, you know who to meet. Part time, they're not making the wrong decisions. Libra kasa karabaya, remaka baba 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 baba. Marodo suka barade. Part time, you're speaking words in season. Libra kasa karebo shataya, raba kase kerede. Riba baba 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 baba. You are making the right investments and refusing the wrong ones. In the mighty name of Jesus. Libra kasete reboja, raba kasa karabaye, re mama 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 mama, riba baba 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 baba, raka seke lebo sharamande, libra kasa raba baba baba baba, leko suka brada sharamande, places, people, events, things that have the potential to thwart God's divine destiny for your life, you are delivered from. In the mighty name of Jesus, Libra kasa garebosha, Rama kasa kalababa, Libra kasa kerelelele, Riba baba 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 baba, Rama kasa kade, Riba baba 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 baba, Marana sandaraya, Leba baba 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 baba, Moko suka, Liga le darosha ramane, Leba kasa kade, Liba kato zaramane ligedes, Mongo suka brada sharamane. Liba karaba baba baba, laba kase kerelelele. Mako suta bradesh ramande ligedesh. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so, you can have your seat. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hope you prayed.
Yes, Pastor.
All right. There's another part. Something else I want us to pray about. But I want to share some thoughts. Are you paying attention to me? I want to talk about the gentleman called Lot. What a name. A Lot. He was Abraham's nephew. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And the first time we were introduced to him, it was because God had talked to Abraham. Go to Genesis 12. Genesis 12, verse 4. And the Bible tells us Lot was a righteous man. So he was not a bad guy. He was a good man. Look at verse 4. Are you in his place?
Yes, Pastor.
So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. So God had talked to Abraham. Or Abram. And Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So the first time, not the first time, but you see that Lot started his journey in life because of Abraham. He went with Abraham. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
God, there is no place in the Word of God that shows that God ever talked to Lot. He never did. All right? In the Word. The person God talked to was his uncle, Abraham. Abraham, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
yeah. No account. So one day, Abraham goes to Egypt, and the princes of Pharaoh saw his wife, Sarah. And Sarah must have been really beautiful, because two kings wanted her for a wife. So the princes of Pharaoh saw Sarah and told Pharaoh, there's a man that has a sister. Because Abraham had told Sarah that anywhere we go, say, I am your brother, because you are too fine. See, fine people become liability. All right, say I'm your brother. And so the princes of Pharaoh tell, you know, Pharaoh, there's a man who has a very beautiful sister, and you like her. Sure enough, Pharaoh liked Sarah. But before he could do anything, God plagued the house of Pharaoh. All right? I remember the same thing happened with Gera. And for that one, God appeared to the king and said, you're a dead man. I can imagine the king wondering, what did I do? So now for Pharaoh, God has plagued the house. That means, you know, disease. So they consulted and realized, is this woman? All right? But before then, because the king took Sarah, he blessed Abraham. Do you understand? I mean, that's a bride price. Gave him many things. So Abraham became very rich. Go to Genesis 12, verse 16. Is it 12, verse 16 now? Yeah? You see? And he treated Abraham well for her sake. And Abraham had what? Sheep, oxen, asses, men servants, maid servants, she asses. I mean, the man became wealthy. The beautiful woman who was a liability became until, you know, God was just watching everything. I think Abraham knew God had his back. So instead of refusing the bride price, he took it, knew that God would meet him with him before. All right, so this is how Abraham became rich, all right? But remember, Abraham was working. So after the whole thing, and Pharaoh found out that this woman was Abraham's wife, he drove Abraham away. So 13 verse 1, go there. 13 verse 1. Quickly. 13 verse 1. And Abraham went up out of Egypt. So he had succeeded in carrying everything. And he left. He and his wife and all that he had, and Lot was what? With him. So as Abraham got money and all of that, of course his uncle, his nephew benefited. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
All right, so this is really nice. So as Abraham became rich, everybody in his house became rich. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Look at verse 5. Something interesting began to happen. Verse 5. And Lot also, which went with, are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Which went with Abraham, had what? Flocks and herds. And what?
Tents.
And his houses. These were big men. Someone has a bungalow somewhere and says, we have arrived. This one had tents, flocks, heads. Verse 6. I mean, it's good to walk with a blessed man. Because the blessing will rub off on you.
Yes.
Look at that boy that comes to school and says, you know, which car do you want us to take? The Mercedes or the Bentley? It's not his own. It's his father's own. But he's in the house. Are you in this place?
Yes.
So look at this guy. Verse 6. And the land was not able to bear them. Meaning Lot became so wealthy that his properties began to clash with his uncle's own. He says, and the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together. For their substance was great so that they could not dwell together. That is good news. Verse 7. And there was a strife between the headmen of Abraham's cattle and the headmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt then in the land. So you see, they had so many. It's like you and your uncle living in the whole of Lekki. And you guys have so many cars. There's no car park. There's no space. So now the drivers are fighting. This is our part. No, this is our part. No, this is our part. Now there's strife. Now, before we go on, think about it. Firstly, Abraham, his Lot's senior uncle, meaning he's older than him. Secondly, it is by following Abraham that Lot became wealthy. So I think if your boys were arguing with that man's boys, you should not let it get to that man's ears. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Come on, do I have wise people in this
place?
He shouldn't get his ears. You should caution your boys. Are you in this place? Say, don't try it. You are here because of him. But look at what happened. Verse 8. And Abraham said, it is Abraham that heard what was going on. So Lot heard it and he didn't care. A really small boy. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife. Abraham was such a man of God. He said, let's not argue. I pray thee. Think of, he's the one going to meet this small boy to tell him, let's resolve this matter. You can already smell the destruction in front. I told you, life is not mysterious. There are things people do now. You can see what will happen in front. It's just a matter of time. You will just be watching, carried by the Spirit. Carried to that front page. You can already smell it. Look at this. And Abraham said unto God, let there be no strife, I pray, between me and thee, and between my headmen and thy headsmen, for we are brethren. Verse 9. I wonder what Lot was doing. Probably thinking, you're right, uncle. Look at it. He says, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou would take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou would depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. If I was Lot, I would say, uncle, why? What did I do? I'm sorry. Because it was by following you that I got this. And you want me to go? Remember, Peter didn't want Jesus to die.
Yes.
Because he knew if Jesus was here, free bread. He fed 5,000 with 5 loaves. What do you think? Free fish. If someone was sick, Jesus healed them. I mean, free doctor. So you think Lot will be smart enough to say, uncle, I mean, this should have pained him. Then your uncle is saying, if you go left, I will follow you. I'll go the other way. If you go the other way, I'll go the other way. You say, no. If my headmen are the problem, all of you come, you're all fired. Get out. Verse 10. You know, at times people grow too big. They forget where they came from. Look at this Lot. Once Abraham said that, pay attention to me. If you have been distracted throughout, listen to this one. And Lot lifted up his eyes. Think about, as his uncle is saying, he's looking around for the best places. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, meaning that his cattle will have enough to drink. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he says, that place was even as the garden of the Lord. Meaning it was so fine. Have you seen some pictures of the abroad and some places in the north? That you have green grasses everywhere. You can't find it in Lagos. Lagos is one fence and they put statue there. So he looked at it. He says, even as the garden of the Lord, that means the skies would have been blue, the grass green, birds singing. He says, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Verse 11. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east. And they separated themselves, the one from the other. What a wicked man. He chose the good place and left the bad place for his uncle. Because he thought it was by physical observation. You know, at times someone teaches you something. And you think you have learned all the skills. So you're going. You think it's by those skills. He didn't know Abraham was a blessed man. Anywhere Abraham was the garden of the Lord. If it was not the garden of the Lord, when Abraham got there, it was the garden of the Lord. The Bible says that people dug well and they found no water. Abraham dug and water came out. It wasn't about the physical beauty of the place. It's about the blessing on Abraham. But Lot was short-sighted. And he left. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Verse 12. And Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tents towards what?
Sodom.
Verse 13. But the men, you see that? Lack of spiritual understanding. He didn't know Sodom had a destiny. That place that was so fine was headed for destruction. It says, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord, what? Exceedingly. So God had planned to destroy that place. But you see, Lot had grown too big. He didn't understand the benefit of the relationship we had with Abraham. He went his way, thinking he had enough intellectual prowess to survive on his own.
Okay.
The next chapter, they kidnapped Lot. What happened? The king of Sodom was paying tribute to another king, him and some other kings. But they decided, we are done, we want to rebel. So they rebelled against that other king. So they fought. All right? Go to 14. 14 verse 10. So the king of Sodom and some other kings fought with another king. 14 verse 10. And the valley of Siddim, where they fought, was filled with slime pits. Do you understand? Slime. Things that draw. All right? So while they were fighting, the king of Sodom realized that they would not win. So they ran. But because the place was drawing, they fell. All right? And they remained fled. And they that remained fled to the mountain. Verse 11. And they took all the goods, because they have fought. This country has won. So they went to the other country and took everything. Do you understand? Took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. Verse 12, quickly. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods and what?
Departed.
Phew, next chapter. He has been kidnapped. Verse 13. Verse 13. And they came one that had escaped. So one escaped and ran, look at him, and told Abraham the Hebrew. For he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, the brother of Anna, and these were confederates. So Abraham dwelt with his guys, praise the Lord. So the one person escaped and ran to look for Abraham. Verse 14. Are you in this place? Verse 14. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants. I love Abraham, but not like Jesus, though. But look at it. Look at it. He heard. He wasn't scared. He was going to fight with kings. Other kings had fought with those kings and lost. Him, he took his servants. He gave them weapons. That's what the Bible says. He armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them. Those guys, those kings, had weapons, armory. Abraham took only 318 people and chased them. Verse 15. And pursued them unto that. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. Verse 16. And he brought back all the goods, meaning he killed all of them. And also brought again his brother who lost. He didn't chase them because he likes to fight. It was his brother he went after. And his goods, and the women also, and the people. In other words, legally, Abraham now owned Sodom. Because he delivered them. That place his brother thought he was leaving him for. He delivered the whole place, not just his brother. You would think, after this has happened, Lot will get the picture that Abraham was in his life as his deliverer. It was symbolic. He didn't get it. He continued in Sodom. You see, it's pride. At times, there are people who have been on the wrong road. But will they stop when they find out? Mm-mm. They'll say, I've been here for so long. I can't go back now. But you think the wise thing to do would be, I've wasted too much time here. Let me not waste time again. Let me go back. But more for people who are proud. After Abraham delivered him, shame would not let him go back. He continued in Sodom. And remember, this was not the destruction God had planned for Sodom. This was Tester. There was one coming in front. And when it was time to destroy Sodom, who negotiated Lot's deliverance? Abraham! Go to Genesis 18, verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. Who is he talking to? He's talking to Abraham. Verse 21. I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. Verse 22. 22. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Why? Because he heard Sodom. Who was in Sodom? His brother. Lot. And he knew God was serious. He planned to destroy that place. And the way God was sounding is like when it starts, it will be total. So to be sure, verse 23. And Abraham drew near. You know, they were going. Are you in this place?
Yes, sir.
So Abraham quickly went close to God and said, "Will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Because he was sure of one thing. His brother was righteous. Verse 24. Quick. Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? So now he's talking with God. Listen, from get-go, God knew about Lot. All right?
Yes, Pastor.
And the reason, one reason why he must have mentioned, because he knew Abraham was interested in Lot and Sodom. All right?
Yes, Pastor.
So, but Abraham is, you know, he's concerned. So he says, what if there are 50 righteous people? Would you destroy the place? So God plays along, verse 25. See how Abraham is talking to God. He says, that be far from thee to do. After this manner, don't do it. To slay the righteous. He's talking to God now. Think about it. He's trying to advise God. Don't do it. Don't slay wicked people with righteous people. He says, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? I can imagine the angel saying, see the way you're talking to God. He said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Verse 26. But see, God is so kind.
Yes.
And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I'll spare the place for their sakes. He wasn't offended. He was the one who started the conversation. Go to 33. Quick. We've closed. Quick. Oh, 32. Verse 32. 32. And he said, oh Lord. So he had negotiated 50. Do you understand? But in his mind, he thought 50. For God to have heard bad things like this, 50 looks too much. So he started reducing it until he got here. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. One more time, God. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. So he had calculated Lot, his wife, his sons' wives, their children. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. Verse 33. And the Lord went his way. So Abraham was what? Happy. Not knowing that they were not even up to 10. It was only one man, Lot. That place was so bad. Anyway, when the angels got there to check if they should actually destroy the place, those people wanted to rape the angels. Angels that came. You would think they would pretend. Do you understand? Because most times people are stubborn. When people supervisors come, like people who do teaching practice in secondary schools. When they come to class, normally, they just all of you are not serious. But if their supervisor is coming, they say, hello, class. Do you understand, class? But not these people. The people that came to see if they should destroy it, they said, bring them out, let us rape them. So, of course, destruction was beckoning. But God knew about Lot. And he delivered Lot from Sodom because of Abraham. That was why. When Lot was with his uncle, he was a very wealthy man. So much so that their properties could not remain in the same land. He left his uncle and he escaped with his life. Two daughters and a bag of salt, his wife. And you know what? He died in a cave, a widower. His daughters raped him and became the pioneer for cavemen. That was the end of Lot. Think about it. Now, years later, we are here. And we are looking at that man's life and realizing that he should never have left his uncle. That relationship was not meant to be broken. He should have remained. You see, relationships are God's idea. Once you're born into this world, you're born into a relationship, whether you like it or not. You have your dad, you have your mom, you have your siblings. There are also spiritual relationships. There are relationships based on your work, your colleagues. Are you in this place? And remember, in every relationship, there are roles. And that is where most people don't understand, and they mess things up. Some people, the reason why they are where they are right now is because they have messed up and strained a relationship. There are roles. Once you're born into that family, the father is the head, whether you like it or not. There is no democracy there. Are you in this place? Yes, you're not born and say, welcome, you have come, now let us vote. Who is the new head? Who is the new head in this family? No. If then you're born there, the father or the mom, if the father is non-existent, is the head. The same thing with spiritual relationships. It's a thing of roles. But this is not the final bus stop. This place, there is eternity. And if you do your role well, you'll be rewarded, not based on the role, but how you perform in that role. Are you in this place? Yes, so in life, there are people that are called to help other people in ministry, in family, in work. But at times they get too big, like Lot. They start small. They are following. They are following instruction until they think they've arrived. Now you can't talk to them anymore. Now you can't give them instructions. I mean, they also pray 6 hours too. Who are you? They also study the Bible too. They also bought Bitcoin. So who are you talking? Not knowing that part of God's destiny for their life was linked. Nobody knew Lot until Abraham. So in God's plan, in God's project, Lot was to walk with Abraham. And there are other relations like that in the Bible we'll look at through this month. But why am I saying this? Because if God is going to help you, he's going to use a man.
Yes, Pastor.
Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
If you're going to advance in life, progress, all the things we prophesy, favor is mine. Where is favor coming from? It's come from men. Money is mine. Where is it coming from? You might say, I'm the boss of my own life. But you have customers, and the customer is the boss.
Yes.
You know those people who tell us about entrepreneurship? They say, if you're an entrepreneur, you can't work for someone 9 to 5 and make other people make money. When you're an entrepreneur, you are the boss of your own life. It's not true. It's not true. If you're an entrepreneur, you have many bosses now. They are called customers. Some are rude, some are insultive. You say, yes, sir. Why? Because you want the money. So if God is going to bless you, he's going to use people. So you need spiritual understanding of divine relationship. This Lot ruined his life. His wife would not have died if he understood spiritual relationships. He would not have ended the way he ended up if he understood spiritual relationships. But he traveled, left his uncle. Things got bad, refused to turn until they got really worse. And he died, a shameless man in the cave with nothing. What a story. But that is not your portion. Because we're going to pray.
Yes.
Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
We're going to pray. And don't be like Lot. If you find out that you have been going the wrong route, you say, I've gone too far. You make all the excuses why you should not turn back. I mean, that is so silly. It is so silly. Imagine I'm going to Lekki, and I headed towards Ikeja, towards Ibadan Expressway. And then I start to confirm. Someone says, you're going to Ibadan. And I say, hey. And I've spent 3 hours on the road. Let's just go. I mean, it doesn't happen. I'm in this place.
Yes, Pastor.
It was even a madman. Look at that madman at Gadara. He knew he was going to the tomb. That's where he went to. He knew he was going to the mountain. He did not branch. Tomb, mountain. So if you know you're going somewhere, the wrong direction, stop. You say you have spent time in the wrong place. Do you want to spend more time? Of course not. And go the right way. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So you're going to pray. Relationships, there are some people that mess up relationships. They don't know how to sustain one. Mess every relationship they have been in. I'm talking about romantic relationship now because you say it's February. I'm talking about other relationships. Every relationship, they've messed it up. Either bad mouth, not accountable, just a mess. So much so that nobody wants to work with them. They don't even know. Meanwhile, their destiny was linked in that relationship. There are friends you make in school that will be so vital for you in the future you will not even know. Until years later, you realize,
If not for this person, only God knows what would have happened. It was God helping you, but through that person. But if you have no good relationship with anybody, and God wants to help you, what do you think he will do? That's where we start hearing stories. Someone that I did not even know, Musa from Tanzania, called me and gave me money. You think it's a testimony? What happened to all the people around you? You mean God could not use them? It's an indictment on yourself and them. Because what is business with them? Now, the blessing that the person, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The person who gives is blessed. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
I've ended. We'll pray. The person who gives is blessed. It is a giver that is blessed. If your relative came and gave to you, he's living with a blessing. That blessing will show in his life. It means that you make more money, more favor. Do you understand? And guess what? It will bounce back to you. It will remain in the family. Praise the Lord. If a man from Tanzania comes and gives, he's going with a blessing. That's the end of it. That is not wisdom. And so when God wants to help you, he starts with those around you. Because he wants you to remain in that cycle. So you guys would grow big together. That's why when Lot was delivered, who did they look for? Who did they look for?
Abraham.
The one around you. That's the one that the Spirit of God would tell, give Chijoke money, and he knows who Chijoke is. He will not argue. But the man from Tanzania, they don't even call themselves Chijoke there. And he says, give Chijoke money. Oh, you Satan, you have come again. He rebuked God, thinking you are Satan. Spiritual relationships. Stand up, let's pray. You're going to pray. We are going to pray. We're going to pray that by the power of God's Spirit, his perfect will for your life concerning relationships, you are walking in them. You are walking in his perfect will concerning relationships. God, those that God has set your way to bless, and you should bless, to help, and you should help. You do not sabotage such relationships. Relationships that are aligned with your destiny, with your progress in life. You are nurturing. It is flourishing. Leko braka seterobo sharamande. Ensure you are praying. Ensure you are praying. And for some of you, you're going to pray to God. You're going to pray to God. Relationships that you have destroyed, or that have been destroyed because of ignorance. You're going to pray by the power of God's Spirit that gives beauty for ashes. Out of the ash of that destroyed relationship comes beauty. Leko brodo sukabradesh.
Viko prakasitaro sharamande ligadesa. Reboko sukabradesh karamande ligados. Leba kasakato sharamande ligadesh. Libra ko saramande ligado sharamande ligadesa. Reboko sukabrado sharamanda. Leko sakabradesh kere mabababa. Lako sukabrakasate. Ribako saramande ligadesha. Rebaka sote brado sharamande ligados. Leko brakasakado sharamande ligades karabakte. Leprodosh karabaka ligradosa. Libra ko saramande ligades. Lebrodosh sukabaka ligradosa. Labrado sharamande ligades karabaka ligadesh. Amen. Go to Colossians 1 verse 11. I want to show you something. We'll pray with that and then we'll close. Colossians 1 verse 11. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I read it. It says, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with what? Joyfulness. There are some relationships that you would have to be patient. Things might not go the way you plan. The person you're working with might not be the way you want. But you have to be patient. Because that relationship, God has set it for your destiny. The people will get angry because something happens and they go. And God doesn't support that. We'll see that in coming services. You have to be patient with joy. Do you understand? Not grumbling. You have to be patient. It could be dad, mom, brethren, even in church. But you need patience. So look at this prayer now. So important. He says that you will be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Unto all patience
and long suffering with what? Joyfulness. And then it could be in your workplace that your boss seems so tough. But that relationship is vital. So you're going to pray. In the name of Jesus, you are strengthened unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. You will not be in a haste to leave. You'll be patient with joy, knowing that this is God's plan for your life. You're walking in God's plan for your life. You're walking in destiny. Ensure you're praying. Ligo prakasa terebo sharamande ligredeska rabakasa kalebro do sharamande. You say strength is mine. Libra kasaka barado sharamande ligadoska. Strength to make peace where there should have been trouble, but you would make peace in the mighty name of Jesus. Strength to endure when others are leaving, but you would stay. Strength to stay even when things are good, even when things are saying leave, but you will stay because you understand God's divine relationship. Libra casa tarabaca negro doja, Ramaca sekerebo shatarabaya, Labaca saca doja, Riba casa calebo cosucadae, Lebraca cerebo shalamande. You have spiritual understanding of the people God has placed in your life, their importance, their relevance. Libra casa tarabo shalamande ligadeza, Reba casa calebro doja. Ensure you are praying, ensure you are praying. This is praying for your life. Praying for your future. Praying for the things that concern you. Libra casa terebo sharamande. Raba casa terebo sharabaye. Liga braca suta. Rama casonda rabale garadoja. Libra casa calebo. Libra casa sharamande ligadoshka. You are filled with patience. You're not in a haste. You don't easily get irritated. Libra casa teraba sharamande. Leko braca cerebo sharamande ligadoshka. The calmness of the Holy Ghost is evident in your life. You are not in a haste to move to pleasant places according to your mental observations. Libra casa tarabaya, Rama casa terebo shatarabaye, Leko braca sacaradosha, Lebroco saramande ligadoshka. You are held by God to understand the vitality of relationships and to strengthen them. In the name of Jesus, Libra casa te, Rema cason darabaya, Laka satarabaye rebosha, laka sekerebo, labaka sakade, ribaka soto rebosha ramande ligadeza, rabaka sakade de, ribaka soto rebosha darabaya, lako sakarabade gradeza. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. Yes. You take, go back home, Colossians 1 verse 9 to 11, just pray it over your life. Over and over and over and over again. So you never forget the importance of supernatural, spiritual understanding and walking in that understanding. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are going to close now, but I want you to say amen to these prophecies that I will prophesy in your life for this week. In the name of Jesus, your faith is alive. The word of God is steadfast in your spirit, guiding your life. And causing you to boldly declare his word every single day. In the name of Jesus, the beauty and glory of God is lavished on you this week. The works of your hand manifest the perfections of God. You are steered away from costly mistakes into productive decisions. In the name of Jesus, you are strengthened to walk in love towards everybody. Patience is manifest in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. This week, in the name of Jesus, you experience growth. Super abundant growth in your life and in your family. In the name of Jesus, wisdom is yours. You make wise decisions in every instance of your life this week. Go ahead and talk to the Lord and just thank him. Go ahead and just thank him. It's a blessed week already. And I can see it, I can see it, I can see it. Woo! What a week. What a week. Your mind has been fine-tuned by the Spirit of God to make excellent choices. Excellent choices. Excellent choices. Just go ahead and just thank the Lord. Thank the Lord.